No, I saw no lifeboats, but just as I was hit on the head the boat was on fire and sinking. Say, I felt awfully queer when I woke up in here a while ago, in the dark. Just like a fellow that was buried too soon and just coming to life under the ground. That is the fix I thought I was in. Oh, but that was awful. Some people will criticize the presentation, herein, of such matter, but we answer the anticipation by saying that one special object of this book is to present the reader with as near every phase of experience as possible. 1121. And when Jerry had gone away, the circle were deploring that so many people had to quit the tenement of clay by accidents and in many horrible ways, and in the midst of this expression of sympathy for all such unfortunates, there came to view of the circle a spirit lady, and said, "Friends, all of these accidents you will find, when you come to consider the whole, to be a necessity, nor is there anything more horrible in death from catastrophe than often occurs from death by disease. Were it not for premature death, as you would say, your world would soon be overpopulated. Premature death is one of nature's means of preserving an equilibrium. You read of destruction of human life from plagues, wars, pestilence, epidemics, earthquakes, tornadoes in various ways, on land and sea, and by accidents. Yet all these modes of death are necessary. Take the earthquake, a natural phenomenon, when the earth accumulates, internally, a superabundance of various gases it must burst and thus deliver itself of the overproduction and overaccumulation of gases. Just like a man that overeats and of improper foods he feels full. He feels sick, he belches up the noxious gases and failing to get relief in this way, or through some natural channel, he explodes, perhaps dies of his own physical volcanic action. 1122. In countries where population becomes dense and overcrowded, a plague comes along and relieves the congestion, and death is necessary, and has to be, and in reality is not much more terrible in one way than in another. Because it often comes by wholesale does not make it any worse for the individual, and sooner or later in the province of nature, and consequently, of necessity, each one, every one, all must die. These occurrences, all these natural phenomena, earthquakes, volcanoes, tidal waves, and all so-called accidents, are necessary, and when looked upon from the standpoint of wisdom, death, by the wholesale, is no more deplorable than the death of the individual, nor, in general, no more in one way than another. 1123. Alexander Hamilton casts a hopeful horoscope over the destinies of the people. A typewritten dictation being taken and written by the spirit Jenny Wood, except a small portion at the close, which was done by the regular operator. The writing being done at the rate of about 200 words per minute, and in the words following, 1124. Much has been said about the warfare between religion and science. Some have declared that either science or religion must go to the wall. These wiseacres seem to have lost sight of the fact that there is a religion that is a science as well as a religion, namely, spiritualism. Science says, we cannot deal with faith, we must have facts. Spiritualism steps in and says, we do not wish you to believe, but we offer you the knowledge, we bring to you indisputable facts to prove that, though a man die he lives again. Science says, you can hasten the coming of the day which is to free the race of all imperfections, and by passing into oblivion yourselves, leave a heritage for posterity. 1125. But all are not willing to accept this opportunity for fruitless sacrifice. They ask, what shall it avail a man if he sow the seed and another shall reap the harvest, or to know that the dust unto which he shall return will bring forth fruits for future generations. 1126. This clash is deplorable, but what is clearly seen by those who have managed to keep their heads above the clouds is that truth cannot be immoral, as is often charged by the church member. Such minds are capable, also, of seeing that the resistance of the church to the dogmas of science are as justifiable as the resistance of science to the dogmas of the church. Both are arrogant in both assumption and assertion, thus constituting the purest dogma. If science has, already, destroy the foundation of faith. It is only to delve deeper and find the foundations of knowledge. 1127. A radical change has taken place in the last quarter of a century, and in manifesting itself in the changed moral tendencies of the people. The elimination of Satan from the plan of redemption has not brought about the dire conditions that were predicted and feared by so many. The years which have intervened having demonstrated that faith in the existence of an infinite power is increasing and not diminishing, and that faith in a personal devil has diminished so steadily that it is nearing the vanishing point, so that it is time to inquire as to those elements in human nature and attributes of the human mind, expressed in a system of morals which have survived destruction of the devil, and prevented that interregnum which began to be feared as soon as his existence was seriously questioned. Morals are at a higher level than they were 25 years ago. Statistics will be searched in vain for any sign of decline. Many people are no doubt disappointed in the expectation that, with the devil gone, the interregnum is not at hand. Such persons will ask, if the devil was not the basis of your morals, what has been? 1128. So, it is clear that the cure for the evils of a partial civilization is more civilization. It requires time, but time will bring the desired results. The primal man was evolved above the brute only on his mental and not on his moral side. He was incapable of realizing his sins, incapable of feeling or expressing repentance, and incapable of atoning for his crimes. He was without consciousness of moral responsibilities to his fellow creatures, but dimly conscious that he must yield to the greater strength and power of the Creator, as the wild beast yields to the stronger. And in many respects, especially as to his morals, he was still a beast only. Later on, he gave the assurance that he was growing into a higher life. His morals began to change, and he became better and wiser. 1129. When this is perceived, it is easy to apprehend a reason for evil in the world. It becomes, then, only a relative term. The suffering brought upon primal man by his disobedience to the laws of nature, while it may not have affected his own life, affected the lives of those who succeeded him, making them, gradually, more open to the higher influences. Looking back over the winding path the human race has traveled, you will find satisfactory evidence of the steady growth in both morals and intelligence that marks the highest type of the race today. There can be no sustained evolution without this truth. Therefore, evolution in intelligence only is not complete. 1130. In the repentance and humiliation and their sacrifices, after transgressing the law by a people to whom Satan was unknown, you can see the germ of all morals and all moral growth in the world today. Most of the laws given by Moses were already written in the hearts of men long before Moses was born, and were the result of that mercy and love for each other which had grown out of their common afflictions. 1131. You will find that your moral basis is now only partly religious. Some of it is grounded on aspirations after the higher things of life, but the greater part is rooted in enlightened selfishness. Your moral basis is broadening, although the devil has ceased to be the cornerstone, the structure is steadily growing stronger. There is, today, more evidence of the spirit of justice in the world than ever before, whether you see it in the heroic efforts of a strong government protecting a weaker one, or the helpful spirit exhibited by one individual toward another. Signed, A. Hamilton. The only phenomena of importance given at this seance was the picture of Jumbo. This picture was made in the same manner and having the same attendant test conditions, excepting that it was made from start to finish, in as near to 3 minutes of time, as we were best able to determine from pulse count. And so frequently we have compared this method with stopwatch results, that we conclude the pulse beat method in this case would be within 10 seconds of correct. The reader may desire to know whether spirit dogs attend these seances, and whether the circle could see them, and whether they have so far evoluted in the spirit world as to return to earth and bark and pose for their pictures, and we may answer the anticipation by saying that we do not so understand the matter. But, in this case, some 10 years ago this medium had a dog that he very highly prized, which died several years ago, and he has desired the spirits to make for him a picture of that dog, and at last, the spirits comply with their medium's request in making for him a perfect picture of his almost idolized little dog. See figure 28, seance number 76, February 25, 1903-1133. This seance was largely occupied at having the spirits review the pictures and determine which should go in the book, and how many and which of them should be lithographed, and to ascertain the names of such as are to appear in the book, and the desire of this spirit band concerning the pictures has been carried out as nearly as we have been able so to do. A. Then Wesley said, "We desire, in this way, to express our thanks to our good friend Nadek for his aid to us in this work, and we hope to have his assistance in the further prosecution of our work." George Griff 1135. This spirit, brother to Henry and Gus Griff, who have visited these seances on two or three occasions and still live in the physical, came forth to visibility, and spake substantially as follows: "Friends, I suppose I am somewhat a stranger to you. I have been asked to say something to you concerning my little experience on this side, but this being my first attempt in this line, I do not suppose I shall be able to say a great deal at this time. I have been here several times and have watched how they proceed until I can vocalize in this way, and I have enjoyed myself very much since I have been in spirit life, and also, in attending your meetings here. And I am glad to know that my brothers take such lively interest in this work. For here, they can learn that death does not end all, but that the spirit still lives its own self, and here, my brothers can learn of the laws of both spheres, and they, too, can learn of the advantage of living right and of the value of learning this great truth and practicing its precepts while in the physical life. I have not been here very long, but have learned much of the laws of life, and as I said, am able to enjoy myself very well." 1136. This medium is going to visit my brothers, at their home, and I hope that all may have an enjoyable time, that all who shall visit the meetings there may be satisfied and benefited, and that the medium may feel himself well paid for his visit. I thank you, friends, for your help to me in assisting my brothers, for, by their presence, I was led into a deeper view of this glorious reality and my dear brothers were greatly benefited. For all of which I shall try to ever gratefully remember you. Good night." 1137. The spirit, Mrs. Mary Wellington, Mr. House's sister, whose body was cremated at Boston, Mass., and who gave to us her experience as touching the benefits of cremation, which experience may be found at paragraph 757 of the book entitled Beyond the Veil, came forth and said a little more on cremation. "Thus, I am Mrs. Wellington, and I want to say to Brother Cornelius that, from the beneficial effects of cremation which I have experienced, I would advise it to all my friends and relations. One whose body is cremated feels so much freer and buoyant thereafter, and brighter, too, that it is easier to rise above earth conditions than when the body is buried in the ground." 1138. In my missionary work I am able to work for the good of both sides of life, and I hope to enjoy any work that may be commenced in this way. I feel, too, that after a little season it may be, of even darker conditions, there will be a change for the better, and conditions will obtain whereby much greater general interest in this philosophy will obtain among the people in your world, and I am pleased with the awakening interest in your work here, and I hope to see cremation come into more general use. Goodbye. Angie Hibbard 1139. This spirit gives us a short message saying, "I have been requested by the band to say something here before the work closes. Well, I am glad to say to my cousin over there that I am glad she has been able to be here as she has, that her presence here has aided me much in obtaining knowledge in which I have advanced much, but coming into earth conditions does not advance me in spirituality. But I need the knowledge to increase my intellectuality, and I am now in about the third stage, in the spheres, from what I am able, as yet, to understand. I want to say to my cousin that intellectuality is her field, and on Earth she can advance in that direction, but in Earth conditions it is almost impossible to advance beyond a certain stage in spirituality, and her knowledge will be of great advantage to her in advancing in spirituality on this side. 1140. And some of the circle expressed that they did not understand the lady spirit on this point, and the spirit, Denton, came to the emergency, saying, "Friends, to be spiritual you should develop mentality on Earth, and this prepares you to advance more rapidly in spirituality on this side, and to develop both mentality and spirituality on, and on, and on. But on Earth, there are so many thoughts and tendencies and debauching influences arising from undeveloped conditions that you can hardly unfold spirituality there at all, while such conditions do not so much prevent development of intellectuality, and this is what the lady means in her advice to her cousin. If one take a little morphine it affects a little, and a little more it affects a little more, and so on, to absolute stupidity. And so, of lower conditions of earth on your spirituality, until the stupidity prevents advance intellectually, and renders advance in spirituality impossible, while on earth, confronted by such conditions. But endeavor to develop intellectuality, and that holds in check counter influences to spirituality, and after a while, at a certain stage, your brain force flashes out and reveals the dawning of the fact of such brain force as that you realize an awakening of heretofore latent energies that henceforth carry you right on in development and unfoldment of these energies. And here, you realize that, had conditions been given earlier you would have been developing long before. Again, you discern that these latent energies are along one line with one person and along another line with another person, and these different latent energies are subject to awakening to activity by the proper contingent in each case, and in the spirit world, the proper contingent in each case is more discernible than while in earth life. But, mortals may, sometimes, have the benefit of the proper contingent applied from spirit side to wake the energies to activity, starting out the evolution on its highway toward illimitable possibilities. 1141. Immortality Triumphing. Open Letter. Part 2. Written by the Spirit, Professor Michael Faraday, as amanuensis for the Star Circle Band of Spirits. 1142-1191. 1142. The theorist that teaches that life originated in the germ should remember that a little further analysis shows the germ is a compound form, the same as any one of the stages that life passes through in its pathway to a more perfect expression. A. The stickler for the cell as the primitive source of life should be aware that the cell is a result of chemical forces that have not yet arrived at the germ stage of life form, and that every analysis of form you make only throws a little further back into the realm of chemical forces, the true source of life itself. B. Evidently, it is not in form that the life principle is to be found in its primitive state, and you shall have to look in some other direction for evidence of its true nature. The God Idea. 1143. You have seen that all of the thinkers of the past, to formulate a theory of the source of life, end in abstraction. The logic they use is, God is the source of life, and God made the world and all in it by fiat, or decree of his own free will. See 42-43. This is only the confession of ignorance and inability to produce evidence concerning the subject, and we mention this here to show how unable the untrained intellect is to discern any relation of force beyond the scope of the physical senses. 1144. To discern the evidence that belongs to the realm of form beyond the physical senses requires a keen mental training, and it is in the mental realm that you shall have to seek it. For, as soon as it comes to the sphere of physical sense, although it appears to be more positive, yet really, it is not sad, for physical life and physical senses are lower in the scale of atomic results, and deductions that depend upon them only, are apparent to be of inferior value, although not without interest that makes them worthy of consideration. 1145. But, even in their province, they give you much evidence that is positive as far as it goes, and would, if better understood, go far towards clearing up the mystery that surrounds physical form. In all their reproductive functions of life, You find that the elements cling to their primitive processes, no matter how high the organism may grade in the scale. 1146. There is the principle of cozoic formation in the spermatozoa of the male, which is the first evolution of electric life. It is the first chemical combination of elements in the living structure that has the proper temperature and interaction of elements by which the primitive cell was formed. If placed in a corresponding environment, it goes steadily forward through all the previous stages, until it has perfected its form and becomes a miniature reproduction of its parent structure. 1147. In doing this, it thus unconsciously followed the line of forces and chemical elements of the parent organism, whereby the organism came into being from its parent, and so on backward for generations and ages. But, in this line, there are some deflections that are quite marked. There is a period when the forming organism is bisexual, or, rather, when it can become either sex, carrying it back to the period when organisms were bisexual, but in order that it should perfect the power of sex to a higher degree, or rather, when the inherent powers of the elements were surging into it to raise it to a higher plane. 1148. Sex had to differentiate, and one became the power to preserve the energy, while the other became the environment to perfect the form. In this there was no miracle wrought, for the very fact that some organisms responded more to the waves of electric power in the planet at times than at others, would tend to make them more positive, while others, under less powerful currents, would become receptive to the influence of the stronger organisms, and thus sexual functions became distinct in each. Now you have organic life responding to the wave motion of the elements in the highest grades of atomic and molecular activity, but with the difference of rates, made a basis determining which shall be the positive and negative expression in the form, and between them, further evolution of form from the elements in this stage of formative action, according to the original principle of obtaining form from chemical balance. 1149. Another strong witness to the birth of organic form under the conditions of planetary darkness, is the necessity that exists, even at this age, for the same condition, in almost all departments of the higher types, of darkness during the formative processes of embryotic life. A. Perhaps the best evidence that can be given, is the existence of the mental power that, in the short space of 30 or 50 years, is able, from the germ cell of embryotic life, to expand to the breadth and vigor of gigantic intellectual power that governs the world of material forces with perfect ease, and bids them respond to its wishes. Yet, you see this, every day, in the teeming world of inventive and mechanical ingenuity. 1150. Yet, even these exhibits of mental evolution may be said to only reflect upon the mental plane the grand growth of vegetable and animal organisms that once dwelt upon the earth, as the best results of the forces in the planet at that stage of planetary development. 1151. We say that the law of evidence in this age of mental growth is not questionable there, but we know that, in all the previous ages of mental evolution, there is no evidence that the present status was ever allowed by the race, although there are still remaining traces of a highly developed civilization in various quarters of the globe. 1152. You can do, in this age, all that has been done in the past, with additional powers of control of natural forces that were unknown in the past. But, this increase of mentality, which is so striking an evidence of evolution upon the plane of the mind, is overlooked, almost entirely, by the advocates of special creation, who suppose that mentality itself is an evidence of the exercise of special creative power. The truer inference would be to examine if the increase of the mental power of the race is not presumptive, if not conclusive, evidence of the transferal of the law of evolutionary growth to the plane of mind, and if, by that method, the world could not be read as an open book by the enlightened student of nature's laws. Certain it is that the more highly the mental insight is developed, the less do the evidences of any special creative processes appear to be truthful, or, in any degree, reliable. 1153. All that they have is a basis, or ever had, is the dictum of a class of thinkers that never had any special qualification as judges of the subject. They wrote as they surmised, and that is all the world has ever had from that source as evidence. They knew little, but claimed much, and the world accepted them on the strength of their claims, but evidence of the truth of their claims was beyond the province of anyone to bestow. 1154. The forming worlds in space, that at the present time, belong to the nebulous masses of matter, are certainly worthy of study and consideration. The principles of chemical balance whereby the elements in space are able to assume form are surely of as much value as the word of a prophet crying in the wilderness of ignorance. 1155. The inherent energy of the elements in mass is as good a source of vital power as a hypothetical individual that neither can be discussed nor apprehended by any of his so-called exponents. 1156. The evidence the world of thought seeks must be in accord with the principles that produce the results that are evidence of the existence of the powers, and these principles are, certainly, demonstrated in the province of chemical forces, if nowhere else. 1157. Consequently, it is here that you are justified in seeking the evidence, rather than elsewhere. To these laws we refer as evidence of the causative power that produces the results in the world of physical forces. See 412-422, 1158. To their study you look for the only revelation that is worthy of the name, for a solution of the problems of sentient, as well as invisible beings. In them you expect to find the true source of wonder-working power that builds planets from the inchoate elements and peoples them with myriad hosts of life that reflect all degrees of animate and intelligent expression of power. Outside of them you do not expect any explanation of the source of planetary life that will be worthy of acceptance as being in accord with the truth or hardly approximating its real nature. That type of thought has had its time, upon the earth, and has only resulted in producing confusion and darkness to the mental world, thereby retarding the progress of the intellectual development of the race, by persistently refusing to consider the evidence that nature gives for the enlightenment of all her children. 1159. Now we come to the liberation and reconstruction of the elements into the different types of form semicolon but, rather, a steady modification of types and devolution of power that marks the status of the world at present. There are those in your world that claim to know how to answer these questions, but their answers differ widely in the principles of causation, and the thinker is forced to regard them as premature in their claims, or unreliable in their statements. The most that we can say of them is that their ability is not equal to their zeal, and they must be passed to one side as incompetent to deal with the question. Another class, who are interested in the subject, do not claim so much, but really do give more light, as they follow more closely upon the pathway of natural revelation, than in the direction of the old theories, but even they fall short of forming a full exposition of their convictions, for they hold a little in reserve that binds them to the self-constituted exponents of creative power. 1160. This class are uncertain of the principles, because all along the pathway of evolutionary life, certain waymarks are supposed to be wanting, and so they wait until the missing links are restored, and the claim of external evidence is completed, ere they commit themselves to the complete endorsement of the new theory of life. It is to this class of exponents that the great mass of minds look for their instruction in the lines of new thought, and who really have to be the connecting links in the new evolution of mental power in transition from the old idea. This is the law of evolution in all its bearings upon the problem of human destiny, as well as the solution of the mysteries that belong to the department of planetary forms. It furnishes explanations for all the processes that form requires, and dispenses with the superstitious expositions that imperfect mentality has imposed upon the world as the true explanation of the action of creative intelligence. 1161. There is, indeed, a period in the development of every tissue and every living thing known to you, when there are actually no structural peculiarities whatever, when the whole organism consists of transparent structureless, semi-fluid living bioplasm. when it would not be possible to distinguish the growing moving matter which was to evolve the oak from that which was the germ of a vertebrate animal. Nor can any difference be discerned between the bioplasm matter of the lowest, simplest epithelial scale of man's organism and that from which the nerve cells of his brain are to be evolved.